It is Sunday, March 27th, and we are Hologram. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. I'm Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Kevin Stewart Swain.
And I'm Ash Riot.
All three members of Hologram are here today to talk about our exciting topic. We're excited. Are we excited?
Very.
I'm pumped.
He's pumped.
Women Who Rock. And we're going to share the women that have inspired us individually and women who are doing things for the planet, stepping into their own power, and inspiring many of us to do the same. So I wanted to first say that we have officially gotten the iTunes thing rockin'. And as of April 1st, the song you just heard is our intro, Spun Sun, will be available on iTunes and Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. But it is our first single that we released from our album World of Illusion. We're super excited and looking forward to your support and trusting and hoping that you're going to really enjoy the song. Anybody want to say anything about the song? Or?
Well, I mean, it's so exciting to actually, like, we've been in the studio for how long now?
At least a couple months.
Yeah, a couple months, and the fact that it's, like, it's so different. We're all excited about everything, but then we finally press the send button, send all our information away, and, you know, just going, wow, it's going live on iTunes. It's so exciting.
It's one of the reasons that apparently record companies are having a hard time now is not just that songs are being downloaded illegally, but artists have other options now. We can sell songs this way, and it's really exciting because we are our own record company. We create and we can put it out, and we hope it works, because if there's some income rolls in, that means we can do more.
That's right. We can record more and do more of all of this. So, so we're super excited, and Ash also redesigned our official Hologram website. So for those of you who haven't visited the new site, we just put it up today, holo-gram.com. Check it out. Check out our new site. And, keep in touch with us. We love hearing from you. We actually are getting we're getting a lot of contacts and connections through Twitter. You can see us on Twitter at Hologram Music. And we're also getting, you know, feedback on our Facebook page under Hologram. So thank you all for continuing to inspire us and to support us and being rays of sunshine and giving us more, I don't know, oomph to keep doing what we're doing. So now we're going to get to our topic.
Women Who Rock.
That's right, Women Who Rock. So I think, Ash, do you want to start and just share a little bit about your how you came to be a solo musician and how many women inspired you?
Well, that's going to take a long time. I can't take up the whole hour here. But just touching on a few, like I remember when I was even like 12 years old and just getting really into music. I had a couple surgeries. I used to be a jock. And I had a couple surgeries and it took me out of that. And I kind of had to find something new that I really enjoyed and something that spoke to me in the same way. And music spoke to me even 10 times more powerful, 10 million times more powerful. And you know, I kind of just found, I remember I was reading a Spin magazine, and it was really cool. I think it was about Women Who Rock, or the top 20 albums or something, and Ani DiFranco was in there. And that was huge for me. I would look up her lyrics and print them all out and keep them in my purse before I'd ever even heard her sing. I never heard one of her songs, nothing. And it just, like, that spoke to me in volumes, because think about it, you haven't even heard this person really express themselves. You've just read about it, or you've read what they express. So that was huge for me. some of the women who've been huge, just, you know, PJ Harvey, huge, Ani DeFranco, Tori Amos, and non-musically, Ellen is huge for me, as I was talking to Cheryl about earlier. You know, just actually realizing that you can make a difference in life in so many ways. She's paved the way for so many people in seriously a multitude of ways. I've never quite experienced really looking at somebody and going, wow, I really, really, really respect what you stand for. And she's gone through so much, and she made life easier on a lot of people, like even speaking of gay people in general and that whole community, just because, I mean, it's, she kind of made it easier for everybody who came after her. She really took the brunt of everything. You know, her show was canceled, she was massacred, and she made a comeback, and it's kind of a testament that if you speak your truth, it will prevail, and it's prevailing, so I hope that... you know, somehow Hologram can do that for people as well. I think we are, and it's a pretty big task, but I really do feel that that's our mission.
Well, I think it very much is our mission, and I'm really, really grateful to have Kevin's support here, because we're not just, I mean, we all are pro-women, but we're not, doesn't mean that we're not pro-men, too.
I'm a semi-pro-woman at this point.
we definitely, because women have... had a harder time of it overall, I would say. That's why we're even more kind of pro-women, just to kind of give a leg up where we can, and also even as women ourselves, like two of three of us are women, and Kevin has very much embraced his feminine side. So what, are we three?
We're basically,
that's my left side.
We're two and a half women.
Hey, we should start a show.
That's right. Hey, now that Charlie's, you know, kind of thinks he's winning.
We're winning.
We're winning, yeah. Look at that. Look at how social media can just affect us.
We actually really do have tiger's blood, too.
That's true. What is dragon's blood?
Oh, dragon's blood. That's better, though. Dragon's blood will take on tiger's blood.
We're talking about incense that we were burning earlier. We're burning dragon's blood. Yeah, tiger's blood incense would be pretty cool. But that is the effort here in the band. For those of you who really know who we are, you probably read a lot about us, and so you'll know our stories, and you'll know that... you know, we share our stories quite freely and quite openly, and it really is just to inspire. It's not to... sensationalize or anything. It's just to say, hey, you know, it's life's tasks and tragedies or whatnot can be challenges, let's call them challenges, can be faced and we can go through them. And so I want Kevin, are you ready to speak about your ladies ladies who rock?
Okay, well, the earliest woman I can think of that just rocked my world was Bette Midler, and she had a live album out in the late 70s called Live at Last that, to me, is the bar, as they say in L.A. Try and entertain better than that. I went to two or three of her live shows, and, you know, you go and you see someone that... She's getting on now, but especially in the early days, she would just be running like an athlete for 2 or 3 hours, telling jokes, making you cry, just the running through the whole... range of emotions, just an unbelievable entertainer. She's up there. The Beatles and her, you know, it's like the top for me. Amazing. And then I saw Joni Mitchell live. Incredible.
She's so good.
Yeah, Blondie, Patti Smith, who we actually got to meet briefly in Paris. Yoko Ono, who, interestingly enough, I think is having kind of a similar effect on me as she had on John Lennon, because... She's given me the courage to try out their avant-garde kind of things and combine it with a good sense of you know, commercial, like John Lennon always had, but bringing things in. She's kind of the sleeper there. I'm realizing how much Yoko Ono influenced me. So people like that. Concern I have right now, too, just really quickly, is seems like... I don't know if women like that are going to be able to get records out right now, and I think we need some more women in the industry, like in the important positions, because it seems like it's all, you know, 17-year-old half-naked girls, and not that I mind that, honestly, like that's kind of cool too, there's a place for that, but this is too much. Like Eva Cassidy, here's another one I gotta say, Eva Cassidy, amazing. Look her up, like check her on YouTube. This woman's amazing. She never had any success in her lifetime because she wasn't, you know, a size 3 or whatever. I don't want people like that not to get a chance, because at the end of the day, I need that music. There's stuff that women can do with music, the interpreting, that, that men generally don't do as well. So rock on, women.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying, for sure. Rock on, women. I started in the entertainment business as a teenager. I started singing as a teenager, but I was also modeling, and then I was doing some acting. And so I've been in this business for a long time, and I know I've been in the business of beauty. And I'm, you know, for a long time, a lot of the emphasis was on how you looked. And so this is why even myself, I had a real problem. I was very, very thin, and I was naturally thin, but I even, you know, made myself thinner by unhealthy practices. For example, I would eat a donut, and I would decide that that was my total caloric intake for the day, and that would be all I would eat for the day. And just that kind of insanity, right? And so you're talking about these young women and performers, and there is a lot of pressure to be beautiful, to be thin, and to be really, really technically great. What I'm seeing that's lacking in the music business now around this whole packaging of lady singers is they don't necessarily have to be songwriters. And I take a look at the women that I really regard, and I've looked at my list, and they're all songwriters. And they're not only singers, but they're songwriters. And they're all beautiful to me in their own particular way. And you brought to mind when Phil Collins was talking in an interview at one point, he said, if Genesis had come out when there was the video age, he wouldn't have made it. He actually said that. I wouldn't have made it. I guess he just figures he's not good looking enough to be on video. And this is quite a tragedy, I feel, because, you know, you got that band that used Milli Vanilli. Okay, these aren't ladies, but these are examples that they were really great-looking guys, but they weren't doing the music because they had the image, but they didn't have the talent, so they had other people. You know, that kind of stuff. So I'm really all for sort of redefining what beauty is as a woman and in this business, but also just really recognizing the talent and not being fooled or duped or having some publicity agent get a hold of you and start saying, this is how you have to look and this is what you need to wear. And then you lose the authenticity of each individual artist because you're not getting a genuine form of who they are. So I think the art suffers and it gets a little either watered down or it's just not authentic. So it doesn't touch the same place that an authentic artist does. Now, this is my opinion. Kevin would probably beg to differ. I know that Jan Arden, I love Jan Arden. Hello, Jan, if you're hearing us or listening to us. You're so cool because I remember somebody said to you in an interview that, you know what, you're 50 pounds you know, away from being a superstar. And your answer was, I'm not going to gain 50 pounds for nobody, right? Now, wasn't that perfect?
Yeah, that's right.
So this is where we're coming from because it's about the talent, it's about the authenticity, it's about the passion, it's about the lives lived that are expressed through the art that are connecting to the people that, you know, where someone can't sing. You know, I sometimes take my voice for granted, quite frankly, and then when I have somebody come to me and say, oh, what I would give to be able to sing, or what I would, you know, give to be able to play a guitar, right, Ash? I mean,
exactly.
You're an amazing singer and you're an amazing player. And we kind of take that for granted. And then sometimes we actually act as the voices of other people.
Well, exactly.
Right?
We really, like, I've had so many of my students even who've started coming to me, like I'm a music teacher, obviously. And, you know, sometimes they're, you know, I can't sing and, you know, I can't believe you can sing. You have a CD out that just seems like so far away. And sometimes they have that same insecurity. I've had that same insecurity where I'm just like, oh, I don't even want to be on the stage because of, you know, what beauty is. And that's horrible when you have a talent and when you have something to say and you're put in the back seat because you're not perfect, quote unquote. I think that's the most damaging thing ever because talent is not to be taken lightly. And, you know, it's incredible how many people just don't feel good enough. And, you know, even with their voices and stuff, like, Cheryl's voice is amazing, and it's crazy. Like, I'm even standing beside her going, oh, I don't want to sing right now.
No.
You know, it's like, when there's people who have so much talent around you, it lifts you up, and it strives you to become better. So when we're closing the door on all these people, look at all the chances we're really closing the door on.
Yeah, so it's a whole bunch of things. I mean, women in rock, to me, the ones that touch me are the ones that basically stand on their own irregardless of what a public opinion. So I want to start with these ladies. I'm going to name them. Number one, this is a not particular order, so don't say that there isn't any particular order, but these are all the ladies that I came up with. Yoko Ono. Now Kevin mentioned Yoko Ono, and Yoko Ono has gotten so many hard hits. She was so experimental with John when they were doing the Plastic Ono band together, and you know, going on stage in a bag and singing, you know, shrilly, that people actually make fun of her the way that she sang. And it's not that she's a bad singer at all. She just expressed it in a really unique way. And I noticed that a lot of the women that I really admire and appreciate and have been influenced by are women of substance and women of integrity. And I find that a lot of them are not just singer-songwriters. Now, Yoko's not necessarily a songwriter. She's more of a singer, an artist, and an author, and an activist, as you know. But she stands apart because she steps into the unknown, she steps into the void, she takes huge chances and gets huge hits, and is not even really appreciated for what she's done. I was getting ready for the show and I did a little bit of research, and what I found out about Yoko, I didn't realize she's 78.
What?
I knew she was in her 70s, but she's 78 years old. She was born in 1933. Isn't that amazing?
I had no idea.
And she's still going, okay? And I'm I follow her on Twitter, and she follows me, and I follow her Facebook.
78 on Twitter.
And I get a lot of stuff. She's currently, I wanted to promote this too because it's so important. She's such a peaceful, loving woman for the planet, and she's really, of course, connected to Japan, being a Japanese American, but she is currently donating all of the proceeds from John's song Imagine off of iTunes to the Japan Red Cross. So I would strongly urge all of you to purchase Imagine by John Lennon off of iTunes under the Songs for Japan album, and that would be your support of the Japanese Red Cross and with the tsunami and the earthquakes and everything. And this is the kind of thing that this woman does. She's a businesswoman. She's smart. She's grounded. You know, you hear her speak and you know that she's not swayed. No doubt she's been deeply hurt by things that people have done, because when you are an artist, you basically set yourself up for a lot of criticism, a lot of judgment, and you just take the hits, right? And I wanted to just say that I also recognize her as someone who was quite, this is under debate, but I believe it. She was quite important in the creating of new wave music. Mm-hmm. Like, she was huge in the new wave music scene, bringing it up with, like, she's influenced the B-52s and, I mean, you probably
Lena Lovett.
Yeah, keep going. There's like you here. Know, yeah. And she's seen as the most. They're saying that she brought feminism to the forefront through her music.
Oh yeah,
right. And definitely. I'm going, well, there you go. Here's a woman who loves women.
And you were people were very, very disrespected. Like male feminists and female feminists. It's like when you had the name like feminist attached to your name, you were like a combat boot wearing, hating on so many things kind of person. And like, I'm speaking of Ani DiFranco, even her, she was like so, so badly ridiculed for attaching just the moniker feminism to her name. Just because she fought so hard for it. And I mean, people, I don't know, just have such a backwards view on, especially not so much now, I think. We've really kind of been liberated in that way, but for a long time it's been, hasn't been too good.
Yeah, I mean, what it's not a dirty word. Is feminism a dirty word,
no.
Kevin?
No, I mean, and I would say it was doing well there for a while, but it's really tanked again. And again, complete all men running record companies, letting songs about pimps and hoes and stuff through now. And no, it's women got to stand up and go, no, it's still not good. But it was for a while. Like, it's a shame how much.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call it? Backsliding or something?
I don't understand. Yeah, backlash.
Well, it's just diminishing. I mean, there was a pinnacle there where feminism was doing really well, and now, you know, half like I say, all the new singers out there, they're willing to do whatever the guys in the record company mm-hmm. tell them. Don't wear any clothes and sing this crappy song, and have a rapper singing on your song with you about you being his hoe or something. I mean, what happened to feminism? It's not a dirty word, and it shouldn't be gone.
I think women have forgotten their power. I think women have it's the old model. Like, I'd really like to see a resurgence of it was about talent. We're talking decades ago. Which brings to mind Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin is amazing.
Janis Joplin is another of my favorite. Now, I wanted to also I'm excited about Janis because I've always thought she was quite outstanding. Kevin actually used to have a tribute act that he did to Janis Joplin, so he learned all of her songs and had ladies step in as Janis tribute singers.
Fully clothed.
Fully clothed, yeah. Complete with feather boa and all.
And they were all adults.
And it's interesting because Janis had a real rough time of it, too. She had a tough time just even getting accepted in a way. It's almost as if she had to become quite male in some regards. And she fought for her femininity. And you know, she was a product of the 60s. She died in 1970 in October. And I got this information, too. I thought this was really cool. Janis Joplin was ranked 46 out of 100 on Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Artists of All Time in 2004. And she ranked number 28 on the 2008 list of the top 100 greatest singers of all time.
Mm. Wow.
Janis Joplin.
Well, she is.
Isn't she awesome?
Janis Joplin is quite there's no other words for her. She's like, seriously, like when you describe a singer that blows you out of the water, you use the word powerhouse. Well, she's like a power building. Like Janis Joplin is like the Empire State Building. She's got something that I don't think many other people have. And it's really important to interrupt you for a second. I'm going to give the call-in number.
Yeah.
Just in case any of you have any call-in ideas, want to share with us your, please call in. We are demanding it. It is a prerequisite to the radio. No, it's not. Okay. Call toll-free 888-815-9756. One more time. 888-815-9756. Call.
Thank you. It's also on your webpage too. If you get lost and we don't get a chance to tell you the number, it's on your webpage. I thought you might find this interesting, Kevin, because Kevin's a huge John Lennon fan. One of the last recordings that Janis did prior to her death, she died October 4th, 1970, was firstly Mercedes-Benz. And secondly, she recorded a birthday greeting for John Lennon. You knew this, right?
Yeah.
Happy Trails.
And it showed recorded. Up when it showed up, and they screened it. She was already gone.
I know she had already passed when John got her birthday greeting. So, I thought that was interesting. The connections of the artists, and you've got Janis Joplin connecting with John Lennon, who's married to Yoko Ono. I just love all these, you know, 6 degrees of separation, synchronistic kind of connections. We're finding that even in our own lives. It's quite exciting. Okay, here's a huge one for me.
But you know what it is.
You know who it is. She's got the same last name.
Oh, it's not.
Patty Smith.
Yes.
Love you, Patty.
Patty Smith, I just we did meet her briefly in Paris. She was at the Virgin store on Champs-Élysées. And it was so beautiful because it was so intimate. And we got to be, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, it wasn't a huge stadium, nothing. We're in the Virgin store. She did an impromptu performance. And I want you guys to know, Kevin filmed it.
I saw it.
So if you're interested in seeing, this was in October 2010 in Paris. And Kevin filmed it. And you can find it on...
www.youtube.kevinstuartswain, and Stuart's S-T-U-A-R-T. Or just look up Patti Smith in Paris, or Patti Smith at Virgin Paris, I think I titled it.
Yeah, so you can have a look at what we got to experience, and it was pretty exciting. And I got to just chat with her a bit. I got a book signed, her book Just Kids, which is her memoir. I had it signed for both myself, and then I got one for Ash. Yes. And it was pretty exciting just to be in her aura, like to be in her energy, because here's a woman who started in the, basically in the 60s. She's now 60, I think 7 or 6, 65 years old. I love it when women keep doing it. Like they're not stopping. Yoko's not stopping. Patti Smith's not stopping. And I mean, Janice was stopped due to death, mm-hmm. but I bet you, I bet you she wouldn't have. I bet you she'd still be doing it. And Patti Smith is known as the godmother of punk, which you are quite well aware of, right, Ash?
Well, she, like, the one thing about Patti Smith is she inspired every genre. Like, I mean, even, like, Patti Smith was huge for the Riot Girls, too. Like, the whole Riot Girl movement in the early 90s, late 80s that happened, mostly early 90s, and all these bands were coming out with, you know, girl power, but not the way the Spice Girls did it. And it was all because of, trace it back to one person. Honestly, it was Patti Smith. And so she, I have no idea if she knows the impact she's had, like, or if she just kind of goes along and does what she does, but holy crapola.
She's amazing, and I didn't realize her connection to Paris. Like, both mm-hmm. Kevin and I are very connected to Paris. We're looking forward to bringing Ash. We're looking forward to touring and having Paris be part of our stops. It's an energetic city. It's a city for artists, not just lovers, but it really is an artistically energized, beautiful city. I just love it. Kevin just loves it. And, you know, meeting her there was the perfect place to meet her in such an intimate setting. And I didn't realize this, but we met her in October. And then in November, the following month, November 17th, 2010, she was awarded the book award. She won the National Book Award for the book that we received, Just Kids. So only a month later, she got the National Book Award. And, I didn't even realize she was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 2007, they inducted her. So I'm going, it's probably good I didn't know all this. I might have been a little more nervous or something. I don't know. But she's definitely a friend of France. She got the Ordre des Arts et des Lettres in 2005 from the French culture minister. So isn't that cool?
Very cool.
Here's a woman who's... I think she was born in Jersey. Was she not? Isn't she from New Jersey?
I think so, yeah.
And she's affected the world. And this to me is what makes a real woman rocker. A woman who has a voice, a woman who isn't afraid to exercise it, a woman who isn't the traditional idea of what it is to be beautiful. She's beautiful, but she's not your traditional beautiful, right? And she just said, I don't care. Nothing's getting in my way. I'm just going to say what I need to. And when she says what she needs to, we get to hear it, and she becomes our voice. And she's also a visual artist, too, which I connect with because I'm a visual artist. It's cool, hey? How you find that a lot of women and men, I'll bring men in, too, who are involved in the arts, are multi-talented. Like, sometimes people will get known for being a singer, but they're really a great painter, or they're a great actor, or on and on.
Well, that New York scene, someone was saying the other day, Manhattan in the 70s, and that all the artists were artists. Like, you check out Velvet Underground or any of those CBGB's bands and stuff, most of them used rock music as one of their mediums, but they were artists in every way. I mean, all the guys in the Beatles, most of the British scene are art school graduates. So I like that. It's you make art. You don't just sing songs.
Yeah, and so this is why I personally have a little bit of a, I'll say abhorrence, that's a strong word, but I think it's suitable, for manufactured acts. You know, when I guess there's a place for it. It's kind of like reality TV to me. I'm not a fan of that either. But to me, manufactured acts are very much like reality TV. We're told to believe it, but it's not really real. It's fabricated. It doesn't sort of happen in this cosmic kind of just, you know, you work really hard and you do this and that and you meet the right person or something and suddenly, you know, your Patti Smith story. I mean, if you were to look at each of these women that we're talking about, look them up and read their stories. It's more of, well, they're created. They're, someone says, hey, you're a pretty girl. Like the stories of the Runaways, right? You know, well, can you sing? It doesn't matter. You look good, right? That kind of stuff really bothers me. Because
that's all about that one guy that did that to women for years, too. That producer, manager they had. I can't remember his name right now. But
Flowers or something? I don't remember either.
Quite the character.
But anyways, Guy Fowler?
Kim Fowley.
Kim Fowley. So I'm more about super authenticity. Be real. And don't try to see. I was, as I said before, in the entertainment business and have been for a long time, and have had a lot of people tell me that I shouldn't be something and wanting to change me, and that I was a fool not to change. And you know, there's a lot of people out there that will do anything for fame, that will do anything for money, and that's sad because, you know, nothing's worth losing your sense of self or your integrity. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And maybe you end up with, you know, not $1 million in your bank account, but you get to look at yourself in the mirror every day and know that you're definitely authentic and you've been true to yourself. I mean, I've had quite a number of really quite the experiences, but we won't get into that. I wanted to talk about someone I was compared to when I first started singing. When I was in my teens, I was about 17, I guess, when I first started. I was always told that I sounded like Deborah Harry, Blondie, and Pat Benatar, and I still get it. But I so I really liked both of those ladies because I found I didn't really know who they were, quite honestly, at the time. Although I knew who Blondie was because I loved Heart of Glass and I loved Rapture, and she's the original rapper, isn't she? Pretty much, Blondie.
Well, and she definitely brought that into the mainstream.
She's one of the first. I mean, Patti Smith. Patti Smith actually kind of brought rap in her way, right? By bringing like spoken word and
spoken
poetry
word,
and whatnot.
Piss Factory, great song.
Yes,
check it out.
Patti Smith,
Pissing in a River All the Way, Dancing Barefoot. Those are my two favorite songs by her.
By Patti Smith,
Pissing in a River and Dancing Barefoot. Oh, it, like she does spoken word, I believe in both.
Piss Factory, right?
Nope, Pissing in a River. Huh.
I wanted to give a shout out to Deborah Harry because we saw her recently and I put her on the website. I put Blondie as my most favorite concert because I just loved seeing her. She is 65 years old and she's still rocking, looking beautiful. And, she's actually putting out a new album this year at 65.
And her last record
was
amazing. Like, it's not just buy it 'cause I'm Blondie. It was awesome.
So the new record is called Panic of Girls, and that's coming out this year. And that, to me, again, women who rock don't stop. And they don't let age, right? And they don't let a few pounds get in the way of them just doing what they need to do. Because this ultimately is a passion. And when you are a musician, when you're an artist, there's if we were to speak, I'm going to speak from my perspective now because I can't speak for any of these women that we've been talking about. But there's nothing, it is who you are. You can't not do it. So I can't imagine just stopping music because, you know, oh, well, I'm 60. Now it's time to stop. I just can't imagine that. Can you imagine stopping, Ash? Or?
No, I can't at all. I mean, this is what I do. So, I mean, it would feel really strange to get up in the morning and go, huh, what do I work towards now? It's like, sure, I could write a book, or sure, I could whatever, but I mean, when you stop what your lifeblood is, I mean, how can you kind of, I mean, people can change their purpose too, and people can change what they want to do, but I couldn't stop this expression.
I was thinking of, here's someone that we haven't mentioned, is Britney Spears.
Now,
someone that started really young and they dressed her up like a little schoolgirl and everything. Urge you to check out a song that was big in Britain. And we got to thank Britain also for discovering Eva Cassidy. They kind of find the gems. They don't worry about this stuff so much. So she's got a song called Every Time. She wrote it. She wrote the piano part and she co-wrote it actually with her backup singer after she had a painful breakup. The song is fantastic. So this is actually kind of an example of a prefabricated, you know, because the latest music she's doing is just horrible, in my opinion. And they're doing that whole thing. She's just assembly line, not wearing any clothes forever. This girl actually has genuine talent.
Yeah.
She can write her own songs, and she's written... this is a great song. It's one of my favorite songs. And I guess they squashed that kind of stuff because it slipped through, became a hit in England, but then back to the assembly line. So maybe even some of these girls have more talent than we're even allowed to know about because they're being squashed, stifled.
I'd say that's a great point because I think that is what's happening is in the music business, we've been told this many times, it is a business, right? So we're in the music business, and what is business about? Business is about making money, right? So you've got the people, the labels and whatnot, who are the ones who are deciding where they're going to sink their money into because what's going to bring them the best and the highest return. So I'm sure, like, Britney started out with the Mouseketeers, did she not? Mm-hmm. With Christina Aguilera and Justin Timberlake. They all were in the same, I guess, what do you call them when you're a bunch of mice together?
The Mouseketeers.
No, but you know what I mean.
Oh, is it like meese.
The meese group. Anyway, so there's another one, Christina Aguilera. She's a huge talent. Mm-hmm. But so since we're on Britney, I think that would be true. I think that I think sometimes the talent happens. The desire to be more happens just naturally. So even if you're starting at 16 being a singer and you're immersed in the business for a long time, then you start to get more and more exposed to writing and the business itself and what it means to record an album and on and on. So then you're probably going to want it. I'm going to try to write. Why wouldn't I? I mean, I want to have a different form of expression. But yes, then the music business gets in and they say, I'm sorry, Britney. But you're not a writer. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a look and you're a talent. And, you know, we've set you up. This is what you do. You're a singer and we want you to look great. And, I mean, I remember back when I had a friend of mine I used to do a band with. He really liked Britney Spears and he went to her concert. And he came back and he said that she didn't sing a note. She was so busy running across the stage and doing all her dance moves, and it was obviously lip-synced, right, the whole concert?
It takes the integrity out of it. It really does. And, I mean, even what you were saying about the music business, like what I found with the music business, music and business does not go together. So, I mean, the best way to work the music business is don't give it any attention. For me, that's what's worked. For a lot of people, you know, who really don't care about charts and don't care about whatever, they just care about creating the music. That's the best way that I've ever known. Sure, I'm not some famous top 10 artist, but the best way to keep that integrity in line is not care. And not care as in, you know, I don't care about all of you people, but don't concentrate on that first. Concentrate on the music first. Because what's going to be there when, you take a back seat and you don't want to be in the music business, you're still going to have your music. If you concentrate on the music business and you don't get anywhere and you're lip syncing, what do you have at the end of the day? Like, you have to actually try and keep that integrity. Keep what you know to be true.
That I agree.
And Bette can do it. Bette Midler does it. I don't know if she still does, but she used to run around. She could beat Britney in a race any day, and she sang every note. So. Mm-hmm.
And belted it out, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just need to know when to pace, and you make being short of breath part of your show.
Yeah, exactly. You know? There you go.
You have a sense of humor about it, you know?
Exactly. Well, yeah, Bette is, she's a seasoned entertainer, though. I mean, she's definitely has a lot of years in that Britney didn't have. And I think also, one thing, I was going to say this too, I'm going to be bold as brass here. I really appreciate women who have balls. I said it. I appreciate women who have balls.
Me too.
And I think that Bette has balls.
Yeah.
I think you have to have balls as a woman in the music business.
You know who has balls? Who has big balls? Even though people may not like her that much, Courtney Love has huge balls.
Oh, yeah. She definitely does.
Courtney Love has glass. She does. She stole the baby doll idea from Kat Bielan. There, I said it.
From Babes in Toyland.
But you know what? She does. She has balls heavier than, like, iron.
Than a 10-pin bowling ball.
She does. She has balls because even though she may not be the most politically correct, even though she may not, you know, have the most patience, she is completely Like, you cannot lock her in a closet.
No, you can't. But the unfortunate thing with Courtney, and I'll say this too, she may have balls, but a lot of it isn't necessarily self-confidence. It's more ego.
Oh, totally.
And when you have a drug problem, you sort of add a drug problem or a substance abuse problem to that. You don't necessarily get authentic balls.
Oh, you don't get authentic balls, but they're still balls, and they still look like balls, and it can fool a lot of people and get you somewhere. And maybe that's not authentic, but you know what? She's gained a lot of respect. She's also gained a lot of critical, you know, mess because of it.
I like her.
I like her, too. And I relate to her as an addict, too. So, I mean, I have a lot of empathy for her. I'm not an addict currently, for those of you who do know my story. But I do relate to her. But that being said, people, it doesn't matter who you are. I think women in this business have to, it's a bit tougher for us, quite honestly. I think it's a bit tougher for us, especially when we're not going to play the game of be 120 pounds and you know, just, you know, look pretty and sing on key, and that's the extent of it, right? I would like to see that people in this business, no matter who they are, especially women, that they don't fear being who they are and fear the illusion of, or having, which I've had this happen, where males will tell me that I'm a fool if I don't actually succumb, okay, to certain things that they think that would be of value or that is necessary. And I think it's ridiculous. And so one thing I'll say about Courtney is it's pretty hard to keep your head on straight when you have that amount of fame and attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she's dealing with an addiction problem, and then she's also dealing with having so many people focused on her. Mm-hmm. So how can you really keep it together? That would be a really tough task, I think, for anybody. And she just messes up publicly.
It's kind of cool. She's,
right?
She's
exactly. That's, yeah. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it, but it's because a lot of people, they mess up, but they try their damnedest
to cover it up,
not to let it be seen.
She doesn't sweep it under the rug.
She's
she
a
like
star.
Collects it all and throws it in your face. And you know, I mean, that's what's cool. Like, you know, she did kind of play into the beauty thing. She has been a model. She has been in movies, but she's
a stripper too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she doesn't care if she shows up with a half ripped dress, her hair completely in knots, one eye done with mascara. And, you know, that's maybe sloppy, but it's kind of the anti-beauty, too.
But that's called an image.
I mean,
if you get right down to it, if I was her publicist, I'd be going, right on, keep doing that.
You know
right
who's better at that? Wendy O. Williams.
Oh, Wendy O. was amazing.
I love when she sent
I know.
Up that whole
So there's
thing.
Another woman rocker that you dig, huh?
Yeah, and look at how it ended up for her. She ended up killing herself.
I know.
Yeah.
It was really upsetting. And you know who I want to touch upon quickly is Kathleen Hanna, the lead singer of Bikini Kill. She did so much. And, I mean, even speaking of the, you know, especially like the 120 pounds thing, I mean, she never cared about that. And even one of my favorite Bikini Kill songs called Demi Rep, the first lyrics of the song are, "I'm sorry if I'm getting chubby and I can't always be happy for you." It's like, it's so good. Like, she was just always so in there. And I mean, she fueled the Riot Girl movement. She was the one who started it, along with, believe it or not, I mean, Kurt Cobain was really in there too. And he's been a feminist his whole life. And, I mean, actually, she was the one who coined the term Smells Like Teen Spirit. She wrote on Kurt's wall, "Kurt smells like Teen Spirit, which is a women's deodorant."
Wow.
So she fueled a lot of stuff in him. She started the Riot Girl movement, and she's still going strong. She's in a band, La Tigra. She's married to the lead singer, not lead singer, one of the lead guys in Beastie Boys. And she's still going. She's doing so much. Like, she's proactive in so many activists, like everything. She's probably one of my biggest role models, Kathleen Hanna.
Well, I think it should be said that punk music was probably the time where that freed women to actually make music and be fully involved in the music. Like, punk is feminist.
And it didn't matter what women looked like in punk.
No, that was the big change, because before and after, I think there aren't hardly any women in mainstream music business. They're slaves. Mm-hmm. They're you know, they get to sing and they're told what to do. They're not part of the business. Mm-hmm. You know, there's few. There's a few that we know that broke through because they got power from their success. But there's hardly any women in the business. How many presidents of record companies are women? How many managers of artists are women? How many bass players and guitar players and drummers are women. There's hardly any women in the biz, you know? So sure. So we're not, it's we again to salute women who rock, because they're slaves in this business. I don't know if I can quote the John Lennon song. Maybe not. There's a song that John
Woman wrote. Woman is the N-word of the world. How yeah. does that sound?
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
can quote that over, yeah. over yeah. the airwaves, yeah.
That basically, when it really comes down to... Yeah, so I think we're it's great that there's women who rock, but man, there's hardly any women in the business. And to be in the business doesn't mean that you're the figurehead at the front of a band being told what to wear and what to do, but that you control your career, that you control your contribution. So good for punk for being probably the only movement that ever let women be women.
And I think that both Ash and I are kind of punk at heart, aren't we?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm
Kevin said, yeah.
that was the very first kind of music that got me. I, you know, from when I was 7, the very, very first Green Day album was out in, like, I don't know, like 90-something, like really early, like before they even made it. That's what got me. Nirvana, Green Day, this whole spirit of it. Like, punk rock is my very essence completely. So,
and it's Kevin's too.
Oh yeah, we're all Kevin. Cheryl too. Yeah.
Well, I think more of an attitude for me. I mean, I love certain aspects of punk, but I think what I love most about punk is the attitude of punk, as opposed mm-hmm. to the actual music. Not that I don't appreciate some punk music, mm-hmm. but I'm not a huge. You guys know yeah, this. I'm yeah. not a huge punk music fan. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not immersed in punk music. I do have a punk, like my punk music favorites and my punk bands favorites, but. I just totally love the attitude of mm-hmm. the punk. But what I'd like to see for myself is, as opposed to being destructive mm-hmm. in expressing my views mm-hmm. and coming out in hatred mm-hmm. and coming out in blame, I want to be constructive, right? I don't know if any of you have ever listened to my spoken word song that Kevin and I wrote. I wrote the lyrics to it. It's called Pardon Me. You can find it on YouTube for Cheryl Catherine Smith, Pardon Me. That is my kind of punk spoken word. That's my attitude of punk.
I think punk should have your attitude. Like, coming from that song, like, and you know what? I got to say now, it's not as destructive. Like, there's certain sects of it that is, such as, like some hardcore that's not posi-core, like, positive, I mean, all my terms, not all positive, but I mean, punk rock in itself, it's really changed with the times, and they know that they have crap to do, and they have to do it. It's like, it's the music of change even more so now, I think. You know, it's not about just kind of, you know, let's screw each other up and let's get screwed up. It's
unless like the Germs, like let's take yeah. razor blades to ourselves yeah. on stage.
Now it's more yeah. thinking. It's about
there is a lot of that. Actually, that leads to something I was going to say, because punk, I like the Ramones. I like the Sex Pistols. I like Green Day, which I consider a punk band. I like the New York Dolls. Pretty much the rest of it, they don't have the songs. And I'm kind of changing thinking, you know, when the music that I've really liked throughout the years, it seems to be a combination of commerce and art, like limitations, like competition. If you're on a label, you don't want to lose your contract, you want to outsell your friend's band. Somehow artists need some kind of discipline, and some of the music that's coming out right now seems to lack focus, because now that we're doing this and we can just sell our own songs and stuff, nobody's telling us what to do. But I'm looking for songs, which we get back again to women who rock, because I don't want to lose this subject here, is I'm not hearing any good songs anymore. I honestly, in 2010, I can't find anything that really rocks my world, and everybody's got to get a chance to write those great songs. So, you know, mm-hmm. more women who rock, let women write songs, let men write songs, let women and men write songs together. We need some good songs out there.
There really hasn't been. I got to say, like, even out of all the records that I've gotten in the past couple years, the only one I've liked that's current is Hope Sandoval's new record. And that's,
oh, you got the PJ Harvey one you like.
Oh, the new PJ. Thank shake. You, too. Let England shake. Oh, PJ. Please, please call me. Because I really want to talk to you so badly. I love you. PJ Harvey, every single one of her records is home to me. I can put on one record of her and, you know, I have to hear it again. Like, I can't just listen to her records once and... But Hope Sandoval, PJ Harvey, they're the only two. Like, I mean, I'm sure I could think of a couple others, but right off the top of my head, PJ Harvey, Hope Sandoval, they are the ultimates. They keep going, and they don't care what's, you know, popular. They don't care. They just write what it's, it feels like for them it's necessity, that if they don't write it, they're just going to implode. They're just going to go crazy.
Well, that's what I was saying. Again, mm-hmm. When you're an artist, this is what you can't think of anything else to do. This is, it's just your destiny. I mean, I'm using that word. It's your destiny. You know it. And you know, when you're not doing it, something doesn't feel right.
Exactly. And it has to feel right. And, you know, we have 10 minutes left. So whoever wants to call in. It would be a beautiful thing. I'd like to give you the number one more time. And it is 888-815-9756. Call in, tell us what who you love, tell us what music really speaks to you, for women in rock, or who rocks your world. They don't even have to play music. They could knit. They could talk about, they could be show people who, like, breed dogs and do stuff. Whoever rocks your world, just call in and tell us, like, right now, 5-4-3-2-1, call.
Can I say just a few shout-outs to newer singers? Lady Gaga, I'm loving it. Loving it. Hot and Cold by Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Fly on the Wall, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Totally dig it. Falling Down. That was
Selena
that?
Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are defying everything I said.
Really
these are young girls that are industry driven and being told what to do. But you know what? It's actually works occasionally. I think that was a couple years ago those tunes came out. I was digging those. I think Katy Perry's a lot of fun. You know?
Well, I think I'd say that she's probably I like her too. She's got a really good a good demeanor, a good energy. I don't think, again, she's sort of self-deprecating. And there's that element, like, here's an absolutely beautiful woman with really great talent who's self-deprecating. And that, so that to me says that she just knows it's all just it's you can't take everything at face value in the business, right? There's a lot of stuff you got to kind of sift through, and you have to have a really thick skin, but you also have to let things roll off you. And I think that she does that really quite well.
And for the right reasons. I mean, think about it, and this is kind of, I don't know if this is a touchy subject or not, but Tori Amos is amazing.
Yeah.
Tori Amos is just brilliant. Tori, if you're listening,
call her.
You know what you gotta call me. You know what you gotta do. You feel it. Just you know. And but seriously, she is one person who's always just been. Recently she's got a lot of plastic surgery and everything. And I want it, like, I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying I wonder if that is truly because she feels she needs to, or if anybody has said something to her. And I honestly think, Tori, if you're listening, or somebody tells you, whatever, you're beautiful. And I don't think that there was any reason to get it from anybody else's point of view unless you actually felt that you needed to.
Well, I think when it comes, because again, being a model and whatnot, and there was that, mm-hmm. there's plastic surgery and whatnot, and, you know, changing things because you're not quite perfect, or you're not photographing quite right and you want to change this, mm-hmm. or that. And I think for Tori, I mean, I'm going to speak as if I am her. I think it might be a combination of both, but I think it's also aging in this business.
I think sometimes,
you know, she's in her 40s now, and sometimes you can't age gracefully. It depends on kind of where you're at, but when the expectation is 22-year-old women, yeah. And you're 40s in the business and you want to keep afloat, I think sometimes the pressure, unfortunately, mm-hmm. is to go down that road.
Yeah.
And again, this is what I love about Bette and whatnot. Now, maybe she's had something done or what, but she doesn't make it obvious. I like seeing people age. Yoko, aging.
Yeah.
Patti Smith, aging. Yeah. Not going under the knife. Not changing anything. Because really, why succumb mm-hmm. to something that doesn't feel right? Because mm-hmm. who decides what beauty is? Mm-hmm. And isn't it up to us to redefine it? Isn't it up to us to say, this is beauty? And if you don't get it, that's okay. You will eventually. But if we keep succumbing, then we're not going to move ahead. Mm-hmm. We're not going to grow. We're not going to grow as women. We're not going to grow as artists. It's pretty stagnant when we're not so much concerned about the actual art as we are about how we perform or how we look when mm-hmm. we perform it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of that too. I'm guilty because I have those old voices, that old tape
that's always about, is that a good angle? You've gained weight. You don't look very thin in pictures anymore. You know, all that, the old stuff. It freaks me out, right?
It's there. And that's why, you know who I really love is Beth Ditto. She's from a band called The Gossip, and she's you know, a heavier girl. I love that about her because, you know what, they were like, oh, you know, you shouldn't wear that, you shouldn't do this. So you know what she did? On the cover, like a well-known magazine, she posed completely nude, all of her flesh hanging out, everything.
Wow.
And, like, completely nude. And it challenged everything, and I loved that.
So here she is, super brave, right?
Yeah.
I remember Mama Cass and the Mamas and the Papas, uh-huh. right?
Would she get signed today?
Would she get, but does that, but I think she probably will. She's a really talented woman.
I hope she
But
would.
She didn't change anything, you know, and this is the thing. It's just, you have the talent. This
yeah.
is who you are. And let's step into it. Let's be real. Let's not kind of try to make other people feel less than we are, because we're set up in this digital world where we're airbrushed and we're auto-tuned
yeah.
and we're on, and you're kind of wondering what is real and what is truth. So my hope and my vision is that women rockers are authentic, and I'm putting myself in there too, because
Me
I'm
too.
A woman rocker. You're a woman rocker, Ash. Kevin, you're a male rocker with a feminine side.
Well, we could just call him a me-male.
A me-male.
But you even see that Gene Simmons got plastic surgery, right?
So, yeah, I know.
I mean, it's kind of just showbiz in general that you just defy aging, and it helps, you know, it makes your fans feel better. Like, it's like nothing changes. So
aging is cool.
But there's no one, is there any big arena rock acts with women like that are, you know, we go to see Kiss and they're 60 or whatever, and Aerosmith and all
Fleetwood
that.
Mac. They're
Fleetwood
still
Mac.
Doing tons of
yeah.
arena.
No, they pretty much only have the one girl, right?
Yeah.
But how old's she now?
Who, Stevie Nicks?
Which we should say, mention her too, as far as
she's really
rock.
Cool. I love Stevie Nicks.
Chrissy Hynde.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
see, now we're rolling and we have to wind it down.
I'm glad we have Chrissy Hynde in this.
Yeah, Chrissy Hynde, mentions. Yes, yeah. The Pretenders.
Yeah.
Melissa Etheridge.
Melissa Etheridge. Yeah.
Who else? Can we
think
we go
of some more?
Before we sign
All
off
right.
here?
Think of some more. I left off Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, and what about all those great girl groups of the 50s, too?
The
like
Ronettes.
The Phil Spector stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were rocking in a different way. I mean, what is girl rocker today? What is a female rocker today? We're in 2011.
The perfect answer is there isn't one. It's exactly what it is. So
check out Ellen Foley if you ever get a chance. She was actually the original prosecutor on Night Watch as an actress, but she sang with the
Meatloaf.
Fantastic.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
Check her
is Ellen
solo
Foley.
Stuff out. Wow.
All right, so we're wrapping it up now, Kevin.
Okay.
And
he's getting so
excited. Just
he's jumping a little.
3 minutes before 8, and he's ready. He's okay. I've just kickstarted. The coffee got him.
Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. And you
her.
Ought to know. That was
that
great
was
change.
Brilliant. The whole Jagged Little Pill.
Jagged Little Pill, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Canadian. Yeah,
hey.
Beautiful Canadian act. You know, she's a great act.
Mm-hmm.
Great woman.
Biff Naked.
Cool. So what makes a woman rocker today, in my mind, is just a woman who supports other women in music, a woman who is authentic and stands on her own, a woman who is courageous, and courage doesn't mean not being afraid, it means that she does it anyway, a woman who's willing to make mistakes, and just, you know, say, I made a mistake, big deal, get over yourself. That's what I think is a female rocker today. That's how I see it.
Well, I remember when you and I first met, we talked, and we were talking on the phone until probably like 4 a.m, and you were talking about how women artists, instead of helping each other up, they're kicking each other down.
Yeah.
And we have to really embrace each other if we want any of our music to get heard.
That's right. So why we wanted to do this show, because we wanted to show other women rockers that we appreciate them. They've inspired us. They've helped us to be who we are. So we say thank you. And we hope that you will also appreciate the women that you hear on the radios and you see on the TVs, MTV, Much Music, whatnot. Really, really appreciate them and take a look at women stepping out in their femininity, stepping out in just being courageous and being authentic in their art. So thank you so much for participating by listening to the show. I have a reason. I was thinking, isn't it interesting that people aren't calling in? But I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that one day we can do the show again and we got tons of people calling in going, I love this woman rocker.
Yeah, and make sure, please, I will give you a hug and a muffin if you buy our single on iTunes.
That's right. Coming out April 1st, Spun Sun, written by Ash Riot, Cheryl Catherine Smith, produced by Kevin Stewart Swain. And we're happy to bring that song. So women rockers, rock on. We love you.
We love you. Kiss,
kiss
a tree.
This is Hologram out.
Out.
Bye.